Welcome to The Food Fix, where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Casey Wurst. Think of a kitchen sink with taps that supply water and drains that remove it. What happens when the drain stops working? The sink gets clogged. The same happens with the earth. The world's population is expected to reach 8.5 billion in the next 15 years. Reduced rainfall and overuse of natural resources are hindering the planet's ability to meet food demands. What can be done to increase food production? One solution is to produce more food from the same amount of land while minimizing the harm this could cause to the environment. Princess Ajay, a doctoral student in the Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences at Michigan State University, studies how to grow multiple crops on the same land. She studies the growth of pigeon pea with sorghum in Mali and Ghana. Her research could increase crop production, especially for small farmers in developing countries. She spoke with Ali Hussein, a reporter for The Food Fix.
Princess, welcome to The Food Fix, and thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Princess, how big is the problem of not being able to produce enough food from limited land?
It is a big problem because the population keeps increasing, which means we have to find a way to feed everyone. Farming systems have to evolve. And then with increased population, land size for cultivation is reducing. So as population grows, land available for agriculture is reduced. So it's very important that we find ways of increasing production.
Okay, now we have a problem. How do we solve this problem?
For me, the way I am looking at solving the problem is having different cropping systems. I'm looking at intercropping. And here we have two crops growing on the same piece of land. So instead of a farmer having just one crop, he or she is having two. And the farmer is maximizing the small area that is available to him or her. Intercropping is a system that has been used over the years, and it's not like it is better than other systems, but here it gives some yield stability to the farmer. If one crop, the cereal, doesn't come out well, the legume is able to supplement that. Then you use a legume to fix nitrogen into the soil. So if a farmer cannot buy fertilizer, there's this biological fixation that is improving the soil for the farmer too. So I think intercropping is one of the best cropping systems that can be used whilst we have this limited land issues.
So you used the term intercropping, you explained it. What is sustainable intensification and how does it link with intercropping?
Sustainable intensification is intensifying the production system. But then we are doing it in a way that can be very continuous. Whatever I am doing today must be able to continue tomorrow. You realize people are preaching conventional agriculture, limited fertilizer use, because now farmers can be given fertilizer on subsidies. But what about 2 years to come? Will they still have these fertilizers given to them? Sustainable agriculture intensification is all about farmers doing things that does not require more cost, something that is within their means. They can produce crops combining two different species, a cereal and a legume. If they have manure, they will put it there. This is going to be replicated. So what can farmers do that can be sustained?
How do you propose to solve the problem now? Tell us more about your research.
I am looking at evaluating different cropping systems and their water use efficiency. I am working in Ghana and Mali. And in these places, we see that the soil is very low in fertility. Like, it has been used over the years. It has poor fertility and it's most problem with African soils. And then the rainfall pattern is very erratic. Like, you can't predict what is happening in the next season. It rains heavily today, tomorrow it doesn't rain. So the pattern is really erratic. And due to that, we need systems that can help production. I have sole crop, I have intercrop, and I want to see which of the system is able to use this limited rainfall that we have. Because at the end of the day, this is a rain-fed production. Most farmers do not have the means to irrigate. If the production is rain-fed, then they need cropping systems that is able to utilize the little amount of rainfall that comes every season. And I think intercropping is a way to go about it.
What are the crops that you are studying?
So I am using sorghum. Sorghum is a cereal, so it can be seen as a maize. And I am using pigeon pea. And pigeon pea is a legume, so we can see it as a peanut or common bean.
Why did you choose pigeon pea and sorghum?
Sorghum is one of the staple crops in Mali and Ghana. Mali produces more than Ghana. but it's a stable crop. So everybody in those countries eats sorghum. And pigeon pea as a crop, it is not commonly grown in Mali and Ghana, but the crop is very drought resistant, and the crop has a characteristic that we call hydraulic lift. During the night, when the soil is dry, the crop is able to lift up water from deep down the profile into the surface. So you can imagine having two plants growing, and then one is lifting water to help the other to grow. So this complementarity is what I think is very important when two crops are growing together. So I'll plant the two crops together, sorghum and pigeon pea. But pigeon pea grows very slow. It allows sorghum to grow. So you realize it limits the competition between the two crops when they start growing.
What have you found in your research?
What I've realized the first year, I realized pigeon pea plants are more adapted to the area now. In 2015, when you look at the plants growing, you realize they have adapted well to the conditions we have in these two countries. And then in the intercropping system, when I measured the soil moisture content, I realized the plants were using more water than the sole crop. Suspected because two plants are growing on the same piece of land. So the two are using the same water content. So now I have to do further analysis to understand whether the fact that they were using more water, were they using it in producing grains? Because that is the most important thing. If you use water, then it must translate into bio yield.
Is there anything most surprising that you have found during your research?
I think this year, when I went for harvesting, I had one site where I had that fertilizer. So I'm looking at the case where you have fertilizer and the case where you don't have fertilizer. So does it influence what I use? So if a farmer has fertilizer and another farmer doesn't have fertilizer, does the farmer with fertilizer going to have more grains because the plants are going to use more water? So that was the scenario I was looking at. I realized there was no difference because morphologically, I can see, like physically, when I look at the field, the two field, I can see the plants where they have no fertilizer. It's almost the same as the plants where I applied fertilizer. And probably plants are water stressed, or the soil does not hold more water, or maybe the fertilizer I added is not enough. Because pigeon pea is a legume, I prevented pigeon pea from fixing nitrogen. So it's like, okay, I am able to fix nitrogen, but now you are giving me something that is not making me fix nitrogen. So that is the difference I realized, and it was really interesting. The other thing is the variety that we are planting, the sorghum variety. Another location in Mali. So I don't work with farmers. I work in this research center. But then I have farmers coming over to help me. They like this particular variety because it is not like what they grow. So I think they realized something good was coming from just coming to work on my field.
Tell us more about how do farmers like the intercropping system.
Farmers have always intercrop. It's like you are having a backyard gardening. You have tomatoes, then you put in pepper. So it's either you are doing a mixed cropping or you are intercropping. So you have a tomato, you put in pepper. And this is done by most farmers. And they like it because you get to harvest one crop earlier than the other. So you get to harvest one that the main cash crop, you sell it. Then the second crop you harvest is just for the family. So in one season, you are getting something that brings money home, then something that you take home for food. So farmers really like it. Even commercial farmers in producing cash crops, they intercrop so that they can use the other vegetables or something for household keeping.
What percentage of farmers in Mali and Ghana do you think are currently using the intercropping of pigeon pea with sorghum?
Farmers in Mali do not produce pigeon pea. Most farmers do not produce pigeon pea. And there's one area in northern Ghana where I learned farmers produce pigeon pea. I have not visited them yet, so I can't say much about it. But currently what I know is pigeon pea is not part of the cropping systems in these two countries. In Mali, it is more of a rotational cropping system. When I say rotational, it's like you grow sorghum this season, the next season you bring in another plant. So you don't have the same crops every year. That is the system that happens in Mali. But Ghana farmers do intercropping with other things. So maybe they have their maize with cassava, cowpea with cassava. It's different. But there's nothing like pigeon pea yet that I have seen. I'm yet to travel to that part and visit farmers and see how much is their production.
You mentioned about the two indicators are the water efficiency and the yield of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
How do you measure these two things?
For the water, we installed access tubes. So that helps us to measure the soil moisture. So we are measuring the moisture with a time domain reflectometry. So it's a moisture probe. So you set it into the access tube and then it has a meter attached to it. So that gives you the water content of the soil at the various depths. Then in terms of yield, we take biomass data. So as the plant is growing at the various stages, when the plant is 45 days old after planting, that is when they get to their vegetative stage, we harvest them. We harvest some plants. So we sample, then we take their biomass through to the time they mature. So we have all this sampling that allows us to estimate the yield of the plant, because at maturity, then we take the grain weight and everything. And that is how we are able to say, oh, okay, so this year, this is the yield that we got from this plot.
What have been the initial results that you have found?
Pigeon pea yields have been very low. And the problem has been, we've had a lot of insect problems. Most of the time when the plant initiates flower, the insects destroy the flower. So by the time the pods are ready for harvesting, that is when they get to the brown state, most of the grains in the pod are already destroyed. And we've been controlling the insects. But apart from that, the plant is well adapted. But then the problem we have is the yield. What can we do to prevent this flower drop, to prevent this insect problem, so that we can have these grains maturing?
Do you use insecticides or pesticides?
Yes, probably the particular insecticide we are using is not efficient, because we've been spraying like every 2 weeks when they start flowering, and still we have those pest issues.
What challenges do you face in your research?
Last cropping season, that was the past summer, everything was ready to be planted, but then we had to wait for the rains. Because this is rain fed and it has to rain, we needed the rains to come so that we can install the access tubes before we can plant. Everything was dependent on the rain. Then we started installing the access tubes and it was raining. We don't want it to rain whilst we are on the field. It is really difficult deciding when to do something when it depends on the rains. But at the end, we have to plant. We were late in planting because of how the rain was. Then with the issue of the insects with pigeon pea, it is really disturbing, because you see the plants growing very well and everything. But at the end of the season, you realize the grain yield is very low. And if you want to introduce something to farmers, it's about the yield. So now what do I say to farmers? This plant is good, but then you get nothing out of it. How do you carry this message around? So this is really another challenge that I'm facing now.
What are the implications of your research for reducing hunger in developing countries?
When we talk about hunger, how to reduce it, then we are talking about increasing production, having more food on the table. And to have more food, it means farmers have to do better things than they are doing now. For me, it's about strategizing, having this cropping system that are better, that are more efficient in using this limited rainfall. So if at the end of my research, I realize, oh, intercropping sorghum pigeon pea is more water use efficiency, that is the message I'm carrying across. With this system, it will be able to produce more, even when we know the rainfall is not good, because the system is able to use the limited water they have.
What are the next steps in your research?
By June, I should be back on the field. I'll have my last cropping season. It will be my third cropping season. Since 2014, I have been planting, and every season we see different things. If I am saying this is my result, it means I have looked at it over different seasons. It's not like what happened this season is what I'm using to tell somebody this is what works well here. But over the season, I have seen the differences in the season, and what we are saying is very conclusive based on that. So by June, I should be in Mali and Ghana planting.
Thank you very much, Princess. It was very nice talking with you, and we really appreciate the time you took.
Thank you very much for having me. It was nice sharing with you my research experiences.
Thanks for listening. Did you ever grow two crops together on the same land at the same time? Email us with any questions or comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced and edited by Ali Hussein and myself, Casey Wurst. Our theme music is the song Watchin' My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rolko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. Have a great day.